Good morning. Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we can get together and to study your word, Lord, and give me all the help you can, Lord, to help me do it in a way that's honoring to you, Lord. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're in the last part of Luke, chapter 9. And I was going to try to go on, but chapter 10 gets into an area that's quite long, and it's going to be hard to break it up. So I couldn't add anything more to it for this lesson. But this one actually ended up kind of being a little bit long, only because of it had a valuable lesson in here about discipleship. And so I think it'll be about the same length as normal. And this one has a little bit of our next painting in it, parts of it. Parts of it in chapter 9, the last part, and the rest is in chapter 10. So let's get started. Okay, we're in verse 57. And you can see on the painting here, but on the bottom there mostly. Let me fix something here. Have to get my cursor again. Okay. On the bottom here, we got some nice symbolic things that have to do with what we're going to be talking about today. So I'll point to them as we go. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And of course, Jesus is going to come back with a few terms here in verse 58. That's where this picture comes in. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, as our fox, and birds of the air have nests, as our bird. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And there's not a symbolic thing for that. But continuing on, the rest of this has a lot to do with chapter 10 when we get into the 70 people he sends out. And we'll get into that tomorrow. But some interesting things here to talk about when it comes to this particular section. And it says here that the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. This is almost a reference back to his birth. Back in Luke 2:7, if you remember, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Kind of becoming a little bit of a prophecy that Jesus doesn't... It's kind of like a man without a home on this earth. Maybe that's somewhat symbolic of the fact that this isn't our home. We're only sojourners here, that our permanent, our real home is in heaven. And also in 1 Corinthians 4:11, Paul has a comment about this also. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Paul, too, in his ministry, many times found himself in places that weren't necessarily at home. And I think that's kind of going along with that same idea that this is not our home. And that when we decide to go into and follow the Lord, that our eyes should be on him. That's kind of what I'm kind of driving at in this particular lesson. Okay, Luke 9:59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. This is a famous exchange. Bury my father. And realize that, try to think of this not necessarily as a physical thing, but more as a spiritual thing. What Jesus was talking about here is that if you delay accepting the Lord and following the Lord, overall, you are going to, there's always a chance that you will miss the rapture. Why you delay? Why you say I got to do this? I got to do that? I got to think about it. I'll think about it tomorrow. And so that's kind of what Jesus is driving at here. So when Jesus asks you to follow him, it means now because there may not be a tomorrow. And I think that's the overall theme of this section about discipleship. This paragraph used to always kind of bug me a little bit because it sounds innocent enough where the man said, I need to go bury my father. But when he gets into the next verse, it explains it a little bit better. But first, I want to show you some verses here in Luke 18:28 through 30. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. If you remember correctly, when Peter and James and John, Andrew, a lot of them, as soon as Jesus said, follow me, they left what they were doing and followed him. It was a great opportunity. And this is what I'm referencing back to as Peter is reminding Jesus of this. Later on, we'll see this again when we get to chapter 18. But then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in his present time and in the world to come life everlasting. And again, this isn't necessarily a physical departure, even though it can be. But I think it's about a change of heart. Is that when the Lord says jump, we jump. And that nothing should hold us back. And it's more of a spiritual journey, whereas no matter what our family says, and no matter what the unbelievers of our life may say, it's important that we stick to calling to follow the Lord spiritually, and not to allow others to influence us like the world. And I think that's what Jesus is really driving at here. Again, talking about, so back to verse, chapter 9, verse 60. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So again, when he says, let the dead bury their dead, obviously physically dead people cannot bury each other. That's pretty obvious. And again, he's talking about here is spiritual death. Because you'll notice everywhere in the Bible, in fact, today I was listening to a commentary by Dr. Jeremiah kind of hones in on this, that, what was I going to say? Gosh, it just left me. But anyways, about the dead burying the dead is basically that, If you're of the world and you're spiritually dead, oh, I know what it is. If you notice in the Bible that anytime Jesus is talking about a Christian dying, he doesn't use the word death. He uses the word sleeping. And that's exactly what, as Christians, when our bodies finally die, spiritually, we're not dead. We're still alive and we go to heaven. And so our bodies are just sleeping in the ground while we go to heaven. Well, here, Jesus is using the term dead. And dead here, again, tells us that the spiritually dead means that if you're not willing to follow the Lord and follow him, then you're dead spiritually, and you might as well stay with what you know with the world, and the world being dead spiritually. So that's kind of what he's driving at here. I hope that makes sense. But I want to go... I thought it would a good example of this. And for the longest time, I used to look at this story. And I always had trouble understanding exactly what they were driving at. But the more I've heard talks on it and sermons on it, I realize now why the things that happen in this story. And it's the story of the prodigal son. And it's a good example of being dead and then alive again. And if you really listen to the process of events in this story, I'll try to point them out, that it fully explains how when we leave to go to the world, we're leaving the Lord spiritually. And that and it says it right in the first verse here, in Luke 15:10 is where this story is. And the first thing is Jesus is talking to the disciples about the being about salvation, and he says a couple of small parables, and here he says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And he jumps into verse 11, and he talks about a parable of the prodigal son. And so this is Jesus speaking this whole time, and he says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me thy portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." So again, this is symbolically, he's leaving the father's house. He's taking what the world is providing for him as an inheritance, and he loses it all in the world. Verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.'" Okay, this is the son had sinned. He had gone to the world and left the father. And the father here symbolically is leaving God, is leaving Jesus Christ. Verse 19. "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants." So he's crawling back for repentance. And I like how the father reacts. And this is like our father in heaven would react. Let's think about it that way. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Okay, you can see this is somebody who's returning to the Lord spiritually. "And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." So again, he's repenting here. "But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And for this my son was dead." Okay, there's the word dead again. Jesus is using this, and it means spiritually dead. "And is alive again. He was lost," again, "had turned to the world, had left, and is found again. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." Okay, this is the faithful, righteous son who has stuck to the Lord, has been faithful to the Lord through thick and thin. "And he called one of his servants and asked what things this might be. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." Now this is the part that used to always bother me, but I finally figured it out, I think. "And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." He hasn't yet. But now what I realize about this is that when we serve the Lord, and that's what's happening here, the son was serving the father faithfully. When we serve the Lord, he is going to reward us with an inheritance when we get to heaven. And so we may not have that reward here, but once we get to heaven is when we're going to be blessed with that reward. So it's to stay diligent to our calling. But that we should also be glad when another sinner joins our family of God, and that and they'll be rejoicing in heaven as this other son who was lost and now is found. Now he may not get the same inheritance in heaven, but he's still saved. Verse 30. "But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." So he's being welcomed back into the family again, no matter what he did. There's no sin that can't be forgiven. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, that's an important verse. That when we stay faithful to the Lord, that our treasures are being laid up in heaven. We may not have much to show for it here, but that someday we will. Okay, I don't know when I lost the audio. I'll just back up a few verses to 15:27, just in case. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. This portion here would be representative of a faithful servant who has been serving the Lord faithfully all these years. And and his treasure is being laid up in heaven, his inheritance. Now, but we should be also glad for that sinner that comes back to the Lord, the prodigal son. And this is God's welcoming him back into the family. And that's the part that's I had a little trouble with for quite a while. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Again, this is maybe not yet, but as we faithfully follow the Lord, that we will get that those rewards at the Bema Seat when we get to heaven, and that we can look forward to that. So when we're faithful to the Lord, maybe we don't always get a lot of things on the earth, but we should be glad for our fellow brothers and sisters when they finally come to the Lord and rejoice over that, even if we've been faithful all along and they haven't. I think that's what Jesus is trying to drive in this passage about being a faithful disciple. But as soon as his son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf. Again, this is still the son. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. There's the inheritance right there. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So again, that's the faithful. Now this son might have lost some inheritance. He won't get as many crowns at Bema Seat, but at least he's saved and he's part of the fellowship of God again. And that's the point of that story. And it's also the point of this passage, I think, Jesus is talking about here in chapter 9. So back to Luke chapter 9, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And again, and that's this picture over here. And so I think it's important to, I remember when I was teaching my son how to drive. At first, whenever he would look to the side, there was a tendency for him to move the wheel wherever he looked. It's something we learn as we drive that, you know, when you're driving straight and you're checking your mirrors, you still got to drive straight. Well, same thing kind of like here is that when you're plowing, if you're not looking straight ahead, the row of the plow is going to go drifting off if you look behind you. And I think that's what the Lord is mentioning here, is that when you look back to your prior life and what you might have think you left behind, that don't worry about that. That's in the past. Keep looking forward and following the Lord, and you'll have a nice straight path of righteousness. And a great example of this is over in Genesis 19:17, the famous Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that Lot's wife looked back, and that's symbolically what happened when you look back at your prior world. You go back to what you were before when you're born again. And so it's good to keep looking forward. And that verse is in Genesis 19:17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape through the mountains, lest thou shalt be consumed. And jumping down to verse 26, but Lot's wife, his wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. In other words, she looked back, realizing she missed her life in the world. And that's symbolically what we're talking about here. And that we need to continue to look forward and not look back at what we might have lost. And I got to admit, I do that sometimes. I think about that the mistakes I've made and the times that I was not dedicated to the Lord. I was definitely that prodigal son a couple of times where I kind of turned to the world for a while. But the Lord was faithful, and just like the lost sheep, I was that one, and the Lord came and got me and brought me back. And I praise God every day, all the day for that. So some more verses right here on this in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Kind of reminds me of, actually the word sin is a term used in archery when you miss the mark. There's another play on that word. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. That's Paul talking about his mission of looking forward and not looking back. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas had, and this is an example of some people that went back to the world, and Paul was upset about it, and he was telling Timothy about it. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans into Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. So Demas had left the ministry and gone back to the world. And Paul was pretty upset about it. In Matthew 6:33, to final this off, talking about the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So again, keep our hands on the plow, keep looking forward, and we'll be in good shape. And that's our lesson for today, and I hope I didn't lose too much when my audio died. So we'll see how that comes out on the recording. Well, and a little word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word and for the lesson here learned, Lord, that you helped us to see that we need to keep looking forward, keep following you, keep our eyes on you, and that we'll do good. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, I will talk to you again tomorrow, and I hope you have a great day. Today being Wednesday, don't forget evening service tonight at 6. And Pastor Sakaros is back. We'll see what he has in store for us. And so I look forward to that. And we'll see you all there.